It's a noisy channel out there, my friends. Coaching right now is a $16 billion industry, and consulting is a $64 billion industry. And if you're just getting started, the first thing you need to focus on is how to stand out with a compelling message. In episode 87, we talked with Julie Cabasis about the secrets of great copywriting. And if you missed that, you'll want to catch that episode right after this one. And today we're talking to Beth Granger. Beth is a training consultant and speaker to go to on unleashing the power of LinkedIn. Beth and I share what has changed recently on LinkedIn and how you can use some of these new tools to engage with your audience with compelling content. But first, you need content that's compelling, right? So I'll be letting you down if I did not invite you to my new training on Convert Clients Every Time You Speak. It's on February 16th and 22nd. And if you are catching this at a later date, always check the links on my Instagram or LinkedIn to see what's upcoming that you can tap into. In Convert Clients, I'm teaching you the skills of using your content in your webinars, workshops, and speaking engagements to connect more deeply with your audience and make compelling offers for them to do business with you in a way that feels authentic to your values. We'll also put that link in show notes for easy access. Meanwhile, let's welcome Beth Granger to the Life After Corporate stage. Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life After Corporate, and you're in for a real treat today. Are you posting to social media channels but not getting any real engagement? Are you feeling mystified at how to create relationships with people online and invite them into a sales conversation in a way that doesn't feel sleazy but's authentic to your brand? And maybe you've abandoned trying to figure it out on your own and need some help. Well, look no further. Today's special guest on Life After Corporate is Beth Granger. Beth is the training consultant and speaker on unleashing the power of LinkedIn. Welcome to Life After Corporate, Beth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here because, first of all, you are the go-to expert for all of my clients in the Launch Lab and the Six Figure Accelerator. And I'm happy to share you with the broader Life After Corporate audience today. And what we've witnessed in the last couple of months, especially, is some major changes with LinkedIn as a platform. And with, you know, kind of the ickiness around Facebook marketing, the cost of Facebook ads going up, questions around Facebook algorithms, I am seeing my clients really flood to LinkedIn to connect with their professional audience. So what we'd love to hear from you is, you know, what's going on with LinkedIn beyond what we learned with Creator Studio? And what are some of the best ways that people can engage with potential clients online to open up that conversation that might lead to a sale?
Oh, where to begin? So, you know, what's interesting? There's this tip that I gave recently at an event I was speaking at, and it's a small thing, but it has led to so many conversations and sales for people. So this is a trick. Don't tell anyone else.
Lay it on us.
All right. You like to look at who viewed your profile, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you're curious. Do you do anything with that information? So here are the two things to do. If a first connection, so that's someone you know or are connected to at least, looks at your profile and you haven't talked to them in a while, there is a reason. You don't know that reason. It could be nothing. Could be they want to see how to spell your name or something like that. But what I want you to do is reach out to them. Could be through a LinkedIn message, could be an email, could be a text, however you communicate with that person. And say something like, notice you stopped by my profile. How are you? That's it. Really simple. It's not stalkerish. I mean, they know you know that they were there. But an example, couple of years ago, someone that I knew but hadn't spoken to in a while, looked at my profile. I sent that message. He immediately got on the phone and called me and said, oh, yes, Susan said you're the person to talk to about LinkedIn training. And that led to a client. Now, if I hadn't noticed that and reached out to him, maybe he would have gotten too busy and never called. What if Susan gave him three names and he called someone else first? It's magic. And even if the reason they were there was something smaller, it gives you a chance to reconnect with that person to make that relationship stronger. So first connections, there's a reason why you want to know. I mean, you're not going to say it that way. You're not going to say, yeah, I saw you on my profile. What do you want?
And you know what? I think that's so important because what I've heard through other networks that I belong to is that this year is really the year of relationship marketing. It's not so much the one-to-many and the broadcasts of the newsletters or even the LinkedIn lives. It's those one-on-one connections, those authentic connections. And what I love about what you just said, Beth, is, you know, it's not about spamming the universe with LinkedIn in mail, right? So it's not about paying for it. Beth, you know, if you're not seeing the video, Beth is shaking your head. No. It's not about that. You know, it's not about spamming people who match your ideal client profile. And it really is about reaching out in those one-to-one relationships. So, and with all channels, it's getting noisy, right? So the coaching space, the consulting space, and now that LinkedIn has turned on this creator mode. And why don't we, for those who don't know about creator mode and don't know about, I mean, I'm assuming a lot of knowledge here that's probably not a baseline with everyone who's watching or listening today. So why don't we talk about creator mode and why it's important?
Sure. So creator mode is a form of your profile. It changes your profile slightly. And it does a couple things. So when you turn it on, the first thing and the thing that will probably be the deciding factor of whether you want to do it or not is it forces you to have the follow button, the default button instead of connect. So if what you're looking to do is grow your connections and network, you might not want creator mode. If what you're looking to do is grow an audience, you might. Plus, because of some of the features that come with creator mode, which I'll tell you about, you might want it as well. What happens is it allows you to pick 5 hashtags that are the things you talk about that show up under your headline on your profile. And it rearranges the order of things on your profile. So your about section gets moved down and your activity section where your posts show moves up. So it's all about the content that you create.
Oh, interesting.
Plus, and this is exciting, if you've applied for LinkedIn Live and you didn't get it yet, pretty much the minute you turn on creator mode, you have LinkedIn Live. Plus, I believe you also have access to publish newsletters, which are like articles on LinkedIn, but people can subscribe. So just for those two things, a lot of people are turning creator mode on.
Yeah. And I just want to reinforce that. And Beth, I think you're going to be really proud of me because one weekend, a couple of months ago, maybe it was 3 or 4 months ago, time is kind of going so fast, but I noticed that I finally had the ability to create a newsletter. And one Saturday afternoon, I created my first LinkedIn newsletter and I was going to save it till Monday. And I said, oh, you know, I was so impatient. What the hell? I'll just press publish. And within 24 hours, I had 1,200 subscribers. So share with our listeners why that is super important, what those subscribers mean to you.
Well, first of all, your very first newsletter is the most important because what it does, one time only, it notifies or invites every single one of your connections and every single one of your followers saying, do you want to subscribe to this newsletter? Then because they've subscribed, the next time that you publish one, they get notified by email and in the platform. So it's like having an email list, but within LinkedIn.
It has 100% delivery rate. And if we compare that to your email platform, and if you are delivering great, great content to your audience via email, maybe you're getting a 30% open rate. I know some of my clients who have really dialed in their email marketing might be getting a 50% open rate, but that's extraordinary. But LinkedIn is giving you 100% delivery rate, meaning that, you know, it's not only going into their LinkedIn notifications, it's going into their inbox, which is extraordinary.
The one thing to consider, though, when balancing, you know, email marketing and using a newsletter is there's no way for you to download your list from LinkedIn, your subscriber list. So if they disappeared tomorrow, you don't have that. I still think it's an incredibly valuable, obviously I'm using it, right? But it's where people already are too. So that's part of all of these features. People are already spending time there, some more than others, but I think it's completely worthwhile.
Yeah. And even, you know, we used to think that LinkedIn was the Monday through Friday platform. And on weekends, people were on Facebook and Instagram. And while they may scroll through Facebook and Instagram, and if they get a funny reel, they might stop or comment on a post that a friend made, people are coming to LinkedIn to look for content.
Yes.
Right. Do you find that? Just share with us what you're observing in this kind of new creator mode ecosystem that's developed. And before we leave the newsletter, what are some ways that people can leverage connections with their subscribers on LinkedIn if you have a newsletter?
Sure. So first of all, LinkedIn is no longer Monday to Friday. One of my most successful posts was on a Saturday. And it was pre-COVID, and it was, you know, people were probably on the soccer field when their kids were playing soccer and they were on their phone on LinkedIn. I don't know. So the newsletter lets you do whatever you want. So you can promote other things that you're doing. You can share, you can have calls to action subtly, not annoying ones, right? You can say, hey, if this information interested you, you might be interested in X. So you can really start a conversation. You can try to get them to engage with the content by asking questions. So it's not one way. It really can become a two-way conversation.
Yeah, it can become a two-way conversation. And one thing I started looking at is because I was curious, I think we have about 2,000 subscribers to the newsletter now. And so I clicked on subscribers to see who those people were. And I realized that there were some people that I didn't know, right? So what should you do if you click on your LinkedIn subscribers and you see people you don't know?
So it's the same thing you can do if you look at your followers. So you may have people following you that you don't know. It's certainly worthwhile to check them out. And if they seem like somebody you should be connected to, you can send them a connection invite. You can say either noticed you were following me or noticed you're subscribed to my newsletter. Seems like we have some, be specific and authentic, read their profile and send them a connection invite with a message.
Yeah, we've started doing that too in a very just, hey, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for subscribing to the Life After Corporate newsletter. Would love to follow you here as well. And then, you know, typically someone will reply and then we can say, then what I do is then I look at their profile and then I say, oh, it looks like you're still employed. Are you thinking about launching a business or have you already launched something on the side? And that's just engaging. Someone said it to me recently that it's like you're at a networking event and you're going up to someone and introducing yourself and having a conversation. It's not like you wouldn't be saying, hey, I have a webinar next week. Sign up now.
100%.
You know, or I've got this app. I've got this cool app. I think you'd love it. You don't say that. So the way you behave on LinkedIn is the way you'd behave if you were meeting someone in person. Is that fair?
I say that all the time. Mm. If you're wondering if you should say something, think about if you were in person, would you say it? I mean, we've all been to things where somebody's coming, putting their business card, remember those, in our face and trying to sell us immediately. And they don't even know our name practically.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. Yeah. It's different. It's a little more subtle. It's slower. But the relationships are stronger so that I think the sales that you make are better.
Yeah. And so I think the bottom line here is that there are people who are right under your nose who are connecting with you or connecting with your content on LinkedIn, and you're not necessarily taking the best advantage of those connections. And it requires discipline and focus and time and, you know, connecting with people like you so that we're understanding what are some of these strategies, what are some of these new developments. So, you know, I have an advantage. I have you as a friend and guest faculty on the Launch Lab so that, you know, we're kept abreast of these things. But what are some of the other trends that you're seeing right now where people can really use LinkedIn to increase their referral networks or connect with potential new clients? What are some other strategies that are working?
So a couple of things. The first one is everybody thinks they have to share content. And yes, sharing content keeps you in front of your network. But just like the tip for looking at who viewed your profile, engaging with the content of others. Mm. So you can pick your 10 best referral partners, your 10 best prospects, and you can follow them or be connected to them and look at if they're active. So if they share content, engage with their content, join the conversation. They've started, they want people to engage with their content. If there's someone, for instance, that you may not know yet, but they share content, read that or watch that content and then comment. And then what if you ask them a question? What are they going to do? A real question that you have.
They'll answer you.
Exactly. You've just started a conversation with somebody. And so it does. It does take time. And it's a different way of thinking about it than other social media platforms and then what people think of as the way to do things on LinkedIn sometimes.
And I think, you know, I think the old ways of marketing aren't as effective anymore. I know people who have been doing webinars are seeing reduced sign-up rates, reduced show-up rates, reduced engagement rates. And people are really seeking, I think, more personalized and authentic connections. And you raise that good point because it's not all about you. Sometimes we're narcissistic in our content marketing, right? It's like, hey, I have an idea. Let me share it with you. And it's not always a hit and run kind of thing. Let me drop a piece of content and get out of there.
Yes.
That there's advantages to not only the people in your networks who you like and respect. So, I mean, I have clients, I have colleagues, but what you just triggered in me that I haven't been thinking of is that what are the top, you know, 25 influencers in my industry? Like, how would I create relationships with people who may be 6 degrees of separation or 3 degrees of separation from where I am now? And, you know, that's a good idea. Do you have a story to tell of, you know, something, someone you've connected with in that way? I mean, we were just talking before we hit broadcast that you were posting something about Canva and,
Oh, right.
And so someone reached out to you.
Actually, that happened on Twitter, but it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. So I was talking about something I wish, a feature that I wish would be there. And a product manager reached out to me and I was able to have a Zoom call with them. Similar things have happened on LinkedIn as well. So if you become part of conversations, you don't have to start the conversation. It's that people are having real conversations on the platform and you can be part of it. And it's a great way to connect with new people, have them connect with you. And speaking of conversations, shall we talk about LinkedIn audio?
Yeah, let's do that. I've been so curious. I know you've been hosting a couple of events and my calendar has been so crazy. I haven't been able to join. And, you know, I saw that there are these, what's it called? I don't know anything about it.
LinkedIn audio events.
Okay.
So it's a new feature. It's in beta. I think about 400 people have access to do it now, but anyone on the platform can join an event and be part of the, raise their hand virtually and come up to the stage. I don't know if they're calling it stage and be part of the conversation. Literally, you can do it from your phone or from desktop. And people are experimenting right now. It's so new. It's kind of like taking, if you know Clubhouse, it's like Clubhouse, but on LinkedIn. And because of that, I haven't seen any bad behaviors, things that have happened on Clubhouse. People wouldn't do those things on LinkedIn because it's their career at stake, right?
Right.
And not only can you be brought to the stage and speak, so people will get to know you, you can message anyone else who is part of that, listening to that event. Most everyone, it depends on their settings, but so it's a way to start a conversation with somebody new. So if somebody's on stage and you really like what they said, you can connect with them or send them a message. And it's just, I think it has huge potential. So it's certainly worth checking out some of the events and just listening to at least to start. And then when it's rolled out, you'll know how you want to use it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it goes to reinforce that this is, you know, this is the year of relationship building. And that, how do we build relationships? We build relationships in conversation. And that's why Clubhouse took off the way it did. And it seems like LinkedIn, I think Twitter too, is following suit on the rooms and enabling those conversations to happen. And also, you know, whenever a social media platform introduces a new feature, right? So they put the algorithms behind it. And so you're likely to show up in more places if you're offering that kind of content. So what's going on? So we'll all have to try that out. You know, I don't even know if I, how would I know? How would we know if we have access?
So you would know. You don't have access.
If you're invited, you know you're asked to the party.
Yeah, they. I think they invited people by email. That's how I was invited. But again, you can participate without hosting. So there are conversations on a lot of career conversations, conversations about LinkedIn in general, conversations about branding, conversations. I saw one, a very specific one. I think it was about unions or something. I don't even know. So all sorts of conversations. Discovering the events is a little tricky right now, and the product managers know that and they're working on it. But you can search for the hashtag LinkedIn audio event.
Oh, hashtag LinkedIn audio event.
Without the S.
Okay.
But they're working on making it easier to find the events.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make note of that right now. And so that's one. So what's happening with LinkedIn Live? Is LinkedIn Live working at all on engagement? I admit that I've started producing the podcast in video like we are right here and then rebroadcasting it live at a later date. And I find that, you know, we were talking before we went live that auto captions aren't generated. And so are people engaging with video content and how long are they engaging for, or is LinkedIn Live not where it's at anymore?
It's a good question, and I don't know if I have an answer. Mm-hmm. I only know what I've observed. Mm. So one of the things I experimented with was I did a LinkedIn Live interview, and then I had everybody jump over to a LinkedIn audio event for the Q&A.
Mm.
And that worked really well. So my guest promoted it. I promoted it. It was a little complicated behind the scenes because it was technically two separate events.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, when I do LinkedIn Live, I don't worry about if there are people there live watching it.
Right.
Is that better? And if they're engaging, of course, it makes it more fun. But I know people who watch or listen to them later on LinkedIn, almost like a podcast.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's worth trying and seeing if it works for you. If the content you're providing is something people want on LinkedIn, I think it's just another piece of the puzzle. And they will be adding a video component to LinkedIn audio. So I'm a little confused. I don't know yet. What does that mean for LinkedIn Live? Are they same mm-hmm. thing? Are they a different thing? Who knows?
We will see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think one of the most important things, and you mentioned it before when we were talking about newsletters, is enabling people to access your content in different ways. So when I created the newsletter, I wanted it to be in alignment with the podcast. So I could talk about a topic in the newsletter and then click through to at least three podcast episodes that also supported that topic. So you can also use your newsletter to connect to, and you could also use that for LinkedIn Live. If you wrote something in a post, right, you can post the link to that live that relates to that topic.
And the opposite. So because you can download the video of the live, you can chop that up.
You can?
Yeah, from StreamYard.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Whichever tool you're using, you have the video, you can chop it up into pieces and do other things with it. You can multi-stream, so you can stream to LinkedIn and YouTube and Facebook or wherever you want to. So I think any content that you create, whatever form it's in, there are ways to repurpose it, chop it up, do things with it beyond that initial first instance.
You know, it's like 10 years ago, I got my health coach certification. And one of the things that I learned, you know, when preparing healthy food is you cook once and eat many times. So the same thing is true with your social media. You know, create a really stellar piece of content. And I think quality over quantity, because you can create one piece of high quality content and then leverage it in many different ways, right? So you could take these video snippets. You could, like you did, have a conversation afterwards in, what do they call these LinkedIn rooms again? These conversation rooms?
LinkedIn audio event.
Audio event. So you could have an audio event that related to that with your guest expert, or even just by yourself. You could create an article or a post about it. So some people get overwhelmed with the idea of creating content. And I think if you focus on creating one stellar piece of content every week, and maybe even handing it over to your social media person or your marketing team to carve up for you, then you have a week's worth of social content based on that one effort that you made.
Yeah, because they're little pieces. You know, each thing that you talk about or write about can be its own thing.
Yeah.
That people can consume. So,
yeah. What is the one thing that if our listeners today did one thing with their LinkedIn profile or their LinkedIn content that you think would deliver the biggest return on effort? What would that be?
Ooh, sharing original content, not regurgitating. That's hard to say. Not curating content. So share your own thoughts, your expertise, your ideas, your questions. It's very, social media is very noisy, right? How many times do you need to see the same New York Times article?
Right. And it says nothing about your brand. This is a place for you to develop that know, like, and trust factor. And I think consistency and frequency, let's talk about frequency for a second. What is the right frequency for posting to LinkedIn? Is it once a day, multiple times a day? Do the algorithms penalize you if you've posted too much in a day? What's your wisdom around that?
So they don't tell us. It's not like Google tells you when they're changing their algorithm and what it means. It's all by observation from my own posts and my clients' posts. What I've noticed lately is that posts seem to have a longer life than they used to. And sometimes it used to be that they would pick up steam early and then fizzle out. Now they seem to kind of build before they fizzle out. So I like to watch them and see, and it doesn't always work, but I really like to kind of see when engagement with a post starts to die out before I do the next post. Doesn't always work if I have an event to promote or something I need to share, but it's almost as if, and again, this is just my observation, it's almost as if when you do a new post, you're saying, okay, LinkedIn, ignore the other post. I have something new. So that engagement and visibility on that previous post will go down. I don't know, just an observation. So I would say not too often. I try not to post more than once a day. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually always post every day.
Interesting. So it's very different. Every platform's different where, you know, Instagram, it's like feeding the beast. And I've noticed that too. It's a little bit of a slow burn, right? So it's slow on the uptake, which, you know, has forced me to remember to not wait till the day of an event to post, hey, you know, last chance to join us, that to give it a couple of days because many people don't get to it for another day or two or a few later. So that's super important. And I had another question that was burning in my brain when you were talking about the number of times to post. I think the original content and consistency, right? So we talked about frequency. The other side of that is just being consistent, because if you're building this know, like, and trust factor, you know, I think the biggest takeaways from our conversation today is use multiple mediums that are available to you on LinkedIn. Don't focus so much on curating other people's content, but really use it as a platform for you to express your thinking and your views. Your personality matters. Using video, using newsletters, now using the audio event features are becoming super important. And just being consistent and connecting and using LinkedIn to build relationships, whether it's people that follow you or people who are stopping by your profile, people who are subscribing to your newsletter. If you're not connecting with all of those individuals in an authentic way, you kind of have a leaky lead bucket.
Yeah. Oh, I like that term.
Yeah. A leaky lead bucket, because there's all these LinkedIn connections who might be leads for you, or they might be great referral partners for you, or great collaborators. And just taking the time every day to reach out to those people, or having someone on your team who's acting on your behalf to capture all of those connections and at least start the conversations that you can then go in and continue. Do you know of anyone who is a social seller? I have a position open on my team, but you know, social selling is now a thing. How do you feel about that?
I think the term is tricky. Because especially on LinkedIn, when people hear that, sometimes they think about the annoying behavior that sometimes happens, the connect and pitch, where you connect with somebody and suddenly you get a pitch. And to me, that's not what it's about. It's the researching your prospects. It's the building relationships with your prospect. So it's like you said before, it's very much as if you were in person, but it's all about searching appropriately and doing things yourself, not automated, because the automated tools are against the terms of service, not the tools to share content, but the tools that will say, hey, we'll connect with 100 people tomorrow kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's how people, I mean, think about how, if you need a product or service, what are you first doing? You may be Googling it. You may be looking up information on LinkedIn or other social platforms. So the reverse is true. People are out there who need what you do, and it's just another way to reach out to them.
Yeah. So being consistent so that you are seen and heard, reaching out to people who are connecting with you. Beth, this has been a great conversation. Thank you for all those insightful updates. And how do our listeners get in touch with you if they want to work with you or learn more about what you offer?
Oh, so many ways. I guess the easiest is beth@bethgranger.com, and that's G-R-A-N-G-E-R, no I. And I have a website that I don't really use, but really LinkedIn, my LinkedIn profile, and, you know, send me a message or don't send a connection invite without a message. I typically don't connect. Yeah.
Yeah. Connect with Beth. Connect with Beth Granger, G-R-A-N-G-E-R at LinkedIn or beth@bethgranger.com. Thank you so much, Beth. It's such a pleasure to hang out with you today. Thank you for joining the Life After Corporate podcast.
So much fun. Thank you.
All right. See you next time, everyone. I want you to take the information that you learned today and apply it to LinkedIn. And if you do, tag me and tag Beth so that we know that you listened to this podcast and you applied the advice. And that's it for now, my friend. See you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.